Well, good morning for Thursday, February 21st. This is Consumerization Nation. I'm Jack Madden, and I'm joined, as always, by Colin Steele. Colin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon from Boston, Jack.
And I believe you have Jim Furbish in there with the room with you.
Yeah, how's it hanging, buddy?
Good, good. And Colin sent me a note the other day. He was like, you know, we should really make sure to introduce everybody so that people know, you know, who Jim is. So, Jim, you are one of our counterpart editors at SearchConsumerization.com.
Yes, one of my many, many titles and hats that I wear.
The other hats being the Dropbox for the enterprise guy, the social media for the enterprise guy.
You got it. I think I got virtual desktops dumped on me recently as well, and a few other beats. So always enough to keep me busy.
Well, good to have you as always. And our special guest for today, Ben Goodman. Good morning.
Good morning.
And so you're joining us from New Jersey, correct?
I am joining from New Jersey, center of the IT universe.
Right. And so tell us. So we know that you work at VMware, and your title is end user computing evangelist. Is that correct? Is that your real title?
My actual title is lead evangelist for end user computing. It is.
Wow. So how did you get that title?
Basically, there was a Cracker Jack box, and I was lucky enough to draw it out. It's kind of interesting. When I joined VMware, they laid out the position for me, and although I'm part of marketing, so they gave me a standard marketing title, and I said, you know, if you give me this standard marketing title, no one's actually going to want to talk to me, so we're going to have to come up with something a little better, and so that's kind of how I ended up with this. You know, I kind of occupied this space between product marketing, product management, and sales. I'm kind of occupy kind of the blank space in between, and so you know, evangelist seemed like a good role, a good title, so I ran with it.
Yeah. Or
I used to cringe whenever I heard the title evangelist, but compared to some of the other titles that are out there now, like guru or ninja, evangelist is pretty tame and mainstream.
Yeah, I wanted barbarian, but they
end user computing conqueror.
Yeah, I couldn't pass corporate standards with that, so you know.
That's really a shame.
And so of course you're here today because yesterday, wow, was it just yesterday? It seems so long ago. Yesterday was the big release of the Horizon Suite.
It was, and it seems long ago to you. Imagine what it feels like for us.
Yeah. So there. So of course we're interested in the mobility part, but that was so that's Vue 5.2 for virtual desktops. And Mirage 4.0.
Correct.
And those you can Gabe wrote those up at brianmadden.com yesterday, and that's sort of the subject for the other show. But with this release came the Horizon Workspace apps for iOS and Android and web. So that's of course what we're interested in today.
Yeah, that's my baby. That's like 18 months of my life right there. So I hope
Wow.
you enjoy.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Ben, do you ever get like disappointed where you put so much time and effort kind of working on it and then it gets released? And do you ever have that like now what feeling?
You know, it's funny. We're already so far down the path on what is next that there's not really an opportunity to know now what. But I will say there is a little bit of a little bit of a you know exhale now that it's done, you know, because we briefed, you know, between press and analysts. I mean, I've done something like 60 briefings over the last month or so. I mean, it's gotten to a point where I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm briefing my wife on you know the latest features. You know, my 4-year-olds like know all the features of Workspace at this point.
I should have just had them write my articles. they probably would have done a better job.
Well, we're still trying to get them to write their names, but, you know, perhaps.
Jim writes all the stories in crayon, too, so it would have passed the editors,
it's
no problem.
That's a good point. So, yeah, it's, So it is kind of a, okay, we're done with that. But like I said, we're so far down the path in what we're going to do next. You know, there's lots of stuff that I'd love to share with you that I can't, about, you know, what's coming next, that we're already planning all the work on that now. So,
well,
you just move on to the next thing, you know?
So I think we already have a pretty good idea of, we know what the next releases are to expect. And, you know, let's just go ahead and acknowledge the elephant in the room. You know, I wrote an article last December, you know, essentially saying, hey, we've been hearing about a whole bunch of this Horizon and end user computing stuff.
Yeah, Jack, why don't you tell everybody what the real title of the article was?
you sound a little bitter.
For accuracy's sake, right?
I'm not bitter. I just the dart in my office is clearly in the middle of his in between his eyes on the picture. So yeah, it's fine.
It was
we've got that in common then.
Yeah. So we know the basic story. So 2011 VMworld, you know, and that was actually my first VMworld, but we all went away from. We all went away like really, really excited about the whole unified vision of end user computing, and then, 2012, we got some more, a whole bunch of new features announced, but in the meantime, the enterprise mobility management space, especially. 2012 was such a huge transformational year. So in 2011, we were all really, really excited about everything. 2012, so many vendors moved really, really quickly on this. And by the end of the year, we were thinking, hey, remember all that stuff that VMware had told us about it, and it's not out yet. So. So we were left wondering, like, when's it going to happen? So obviously we got the first part of it. It was with the announcement yesterday. So that's basically the background of that.
I just found the article that we were referencing. It was titled "2012 is a huge year for mobile for everyone except VMware."
Oof.
Oh yeah,
that's brutal.
So, but to be fair, according to this, it got 11,000 page views. So. I guess we'll take it, but I guess Ben.
Yeah, you guys with your sorry, guys. No, I was just gonna say, you guys with your controversial headlines get good clicks. It makes it really hard for us to retweet you sometimes. But yes, it's for example, Gabe's article was really well written and really even handed, I thought. But his title made it impossible for me to retweet it without like looking like I was bagging my own product, you know?
Yeah. Well. At the end of the day, we know that, we know that as, you know, products do take time to make, and it's your job to say, hey, they're going to be coming, they're going to be great, and it's our job, our income is provided by advertising dollars, and our advertising dollars are, of course, dependent on how many people come, and read our site. So it's our job to make these headlines the way they are.
No, that's fine. I'm joking. So, let me talk to a couple of these things. When you asked about, you know, whether it's tough sometimes, when you finish a big release and you're almost like, okay, what now? The tougher thing is when, you know, the team is working on really great stuff, and you can't talk about it or just not coming fast enough or things like that. I mean, we would love to have products in market quicker and faster and have them inside of customers' hands. We'd love to be selling them. So there's always, you know, frustration, especially for the people that are outward facing, whether it be talking directly to customers or talking directly to the press and analysts, you know, when we have to tap dance around why something hasn't shipped yet. There's an interesting thing at VMware. You know, the VMworld is such a huge, massive event where we get so much attention from the press and, you know, so many customers show up. There's a lot of pressure within VMware to do announcements around VMworld. So, you know, sometimes, so that's where we have the opportunity to make a big splash. And so, we try to take advantage of that as much as possible. Maybe sometimes, announcing things maybe sooner than we probably would have if we didn't have this huge venue to take advantage of.
So Ben, I guess the question is, why did you decide to pull the trigger now? I understand that some of the products have been ready to go for a while, and some you probably knew weren't going to be ready for quite a while longer. So was it just the product availability or the changing market dynamics or a combination of the two?
Yeah, so I'll answer that question directly. So we thought these particular components, the stuff that's in Workspace, the stuff that's in 5.2, the stuff that's in 4 from Mirage, we reached a point of maturity where we felt really comfortable getting that out to market. You know, there was a certain amount of work that was going on underneath the covers here. What we talk about in this briefing, when we briefed you guys about Horizon Workspace and whatnot, is really the tip of the iceberg. There's this huge piece that's going on underneath the surface here, which is really building a platform. And platforms on their own aren't very sexy, so we don't talk about them as much. But the reality is we built an underlying platform that we're now able to build on for all this consumerization, post-PC type stuff that we're trying to build now. So, you know, the thing that took us so long was to get that platform right. And that platform allows us to do a lot of things going forward. It's going to allow us to rev the product more quickly, get features into market more quickly. It allows us to have a mobile capability that when we ship it will be really tightly integrated with everything else we're working on. So a lot of that work needed to be done. So we weren't willing to ship anything until we had that underlying platform done. And there's kind of so I'm sure you guys all took psychology in college, and you know about the marshmallow test. I don't know if you remember that from psychology. Basically, the test is
you tell the kid he can have one marshmallow now or two marshmallows in 5 minutes, most of the kids don't wait.
10 marshmallow, exactly. And so this Horizon, the whole Horizon exercise was a marshmallow test for us. I mean, we could have eaten the marshmallow several times and shipped Horizon Data or Project Octopus, could have shipped components around mobile, could have shipped a lot of these components, but they would have been loosely integrated, if at all. You know, there would have been lack of consistency between the interfaces, lack of consistency between the management. And quite frankly, we don't think that's what our customers want. And so, you know, a lot of our competitors eat marshmallows all day. And so we know that, right?
We included.
Well, okay. So we get the point then is for a full complete product. I want to take a second and actually go into Workspace itself, and in particular the mobile apps to see what's in there. Looking at the mobile apps, we have data from Project Octopus.
Yep.
Applications from Horizon. So for right now, the applications are just web apps for the mobile products, and links to desktops as well.
Right, and then thin apps on Windows platform. Right, so if you're on the Windows platform, we can launch and manage thin app through the platform also.
Right. So within the Horizon Data, in particular, there's one feature that I really especially liked, and so this just to give a little background, we've been saying for when it comes to mobilizing the enterprise, like there are a lot of decisions about device management and how to handle email and everything that you have to handle, but you know we've always been saying the one easy win. That you can do is your mobile file syncing product, because you can even on completely unsecured devices, you can lock it down as much as you want, so nothing is stored locally and nothing is opened in other applications. Now that opening documents from the mobile file syncing app into other applications is the interesting part, because obviously you want you don't want somebody opening a corporate document into any old random user application. You want them to be opening the document into a preferred corporate application. So the interesting thing here is most enterprise mobility management solutions as they exist today, that open in function, IT's control of that is a completely black and white binary thing. Either you can't open the document in any other application, or you can open it in any other, in all of the applications that are on the mobile device. So that's anything on the phone, including, you know, you're opening your corporate spreadsheet with whatever social, whatever people got from anywhere. So we'll say that the way that most solutions work, if you want to get a granular, you know, be able to selectively whitelist what applications the documents can open in, that is dependent on the other applications being corporate managed using app wrapping or some sort of SDK. It has to be a managed application. But so you guys were able to make it so that selective opening, it doesn't matter where that other application came from. And there's only one other company that's done that so far that I know of. But I think that feature in particular is a real big win. So I guess one of the questions is how does that work, if you can tell us at all about that, and like, when do we get to see that in every single product?
Well, I can't answer when you'll see it in other products. On our side, it's just a matter of basically creating a whitelist or a blacklist of what you can and cannot open it in. So it's actually, a pretty simple feature. I'm glad you like it, because I don't think that we thought it was anything all that anything all that unique or special when we did it. We just thought it was very logical, right? So we we came at this from a very enterprise centric way. As a matter of fact, some of the people that are on this team were guys that developed a feature that was in Zimbra called Briefcase, which was basically an offline file store synchronization tool that was part of Zimbra. So they had some experience in terms of, control around mobile data, and they just brought some of that experience. None of the code is shared, but the actual thought process was from that. So it just seemed very logical to us as a way of doing it. And so, we built into the current release, or the soon to be current release of Horizon, we have this concept called a class of service. And basically it's a policy is what it really is. And it's a storage specific policy. That'll actually evolve into a policy for everything in subsequent versions, because we liked the policy management model that we built for that. But that's exactly what it is. Just a very, very specific policy to storage requirements and some of our knowledge of storage allowed us to, and knowledge of the end platforms allowed us to do that.
Right. So I think this is a very big important step. The selective whitelisting without relying on app wrapping or anything like that. Because if we look at some of the articles that Gabe wrote an article that outlined a lot of people's questions, when it comes to mobile application management, is how do we get everything that we need to have into the ecosystem? And there are a number of different ways to do that. But there are a lot of fears that could be a problem, getting things into the ecosystem. And this, to some degree, addresses that problem, and also addresses the problem of interoperability. So we know that the app wrapping is coming for iOS for Horizon in the future, but until that time when that comes, we still have this ability to block Facebook from opening the corporate document and allow whatever corporate application.
And I guess my question is, given the fact that we're still waiting for the mobile application management and other features, and recognizing what features are in the product now, how does VMware, what are VMware's expectations for how customers will start off with Horizon Suite, the ones who are implementing this release, and what their primary use cases will be? Is it just kind of laying the groundwork for that platform that you discussed, or are there specific features that are available now that you think your customers have have really been looking for and will take advantage of?
Yeah, so we that's a great question. So we had over 12,000 unique customers sign up for the Project Octopus beta. So this corporate Dropbox, corporate control, data management, whatever you want to call it, is something that obviously strikes a chord with a lot of customers. And so we think people can begin taking advantage of that right away. Also, the proliferation of SaaS inside of organizations, software as a service inside of organizations, is something that customers have a concern about. So this allows you to start managing that. And then, you know, the ThinApp components, customers that are already comfortable with ThinApp, that's in there. So there's a bunch of different things that people can take advantage of right away. Also, the Vue integration is pretty awesome in terms of how it allows us to do single sign-on right into Vue and launch Vue Desktop. So if you're an existing Vue customer, this allows you to basically put a really nice front end in front of it that users can access apps and data, and then when they want to launch a virtual desktop, they have a really easy way to get to it and get single sign-on into it and all that. So
at,
we think
at this point right now, from the mobile app, from the Octopus, from the data files in particular, can I use that to open a document into a Vue desktop?
So not yet. So that is some of the stuff we're looking at and working on trying to get that really smooth. Those problems are fairly hard to deal with because you're moving between, you know, it's a little bit of an inception situation where you know which level deep you are. It's not an easy thing to do, but it is stuff that we're working on. We're looking at a bunch of different options as to how we make it very seamless that if you open a doc in the data component, how we find the proper editor for you. And if that editor is something that's remoted, how do we give you that remote interface and open the doc right in it? And, you know, that's the ideal situation, the ideal experience for an end user. It's just not that easy to do. So we're working through all the wrinkles and making that work.
And while you're on the subject of data, I know you touched on this before, but I just want to circle back to it because I've heard conflicting things. Another VMware employee during a session at VMworld said that there were plans to make Octopus a standalone product at some point. Is that still on the table or some of the integration features that you just talked about make that impossibility now?
Yeah, so they were probably accurate when they said it. At the current time, though, our plan is not to have a separate Horizon Data SKU that we sell. Not to say that it won't change in the future if some demand, or, you know, we're not religious about these things. But the reality is, our point of view, at least right now, is that customers, things like the data component, things like the app component, things like the single sign-on capability, we see those as features, not products. And so we think customers are tired of buying a bunch of features and then being the people that have to integrate them all. So our intention at this point is workspace is as granular as it gets. The underlying architecture, nothing precludes us from turning off. As a matter of fact, even when you deploy it, if you get workspace and you only want to deploy the data component, you can turn off the app components and the other components and users won't see that. But that's just not how we plan on going to market right now.
Sorry, Jack, just one final follow-up on that. Just given the popularity around Octopus and the interest in it, like you said, there were 12,000 beta testers. Is there any concern that the only availability of it being in a larger suite will turn off some customers who are just looking for that one thing?
Marshmallow.
Well, so speaking of another eating the marshmallow question, what about the... Like the back end only plugs into the Horizon specific architecture. One of the things. So when Brian and I, when we go around to these consumerization shows, of course we talk mobile file syncing applications is the good win for mobility, and they say, oh, we don't want to move our files to the cloud. And we say, that's great, because mobile file syncing has nothing to do with where your files are on the back end.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not the case right now with Horizon Data.
Yeah, so our intent, we have the team already working on this. you got to start somewhere, and we wanted to get this into customers' hands. And this use case, as it is today, is still extremely attractive to customers. That being said, bringing in additional data inputs, if you will, so whether they be SIF shares, whether they be content management systems like SharePoint, whether they be cloud-based file shares like Dropbox or Box.net or whatever. Those are all things that our guys are working on right now. So we see that vision also. I mean, if you've ever seen any of the Horizon presentations, which I know you have, you know, we talk a lot about the concept of brokering, basically that the end user shouldn't have to know about where the data is stored, shouldn't have to know about where the applications are run or how the applications are run.
Right, so, right. And I love that the end user doesn't have to care about where data is stored. But for those of us that are implementing it, and don't want to move around any structure on the back end, we still have to wait.
No, so you're right. We're not here yet, but our goal is exactly what you're talking about. So our goal is that the user goes in, you know, to their workspace and they see all their documents, and you know, based on policy, based on configuration, based on whatever happens behind the scenes. They see all those documents, and some of them may be coming from SharePoint, and some of them may be coming from Box.net, and some may be stored on local storage. You know, that's the end goal, is for this to be the one place you go to get your docs, or regardless of where they actually live.
Okay, right. So the next question that I want to bring this around to is the Android and the mobile virtualization platform. So I've written a lot about the pros and cons of mobile virtualization, and you know, I think it's really cool. So basically, for those of you that are listening, there are articles on this. You know, but the idea that we're looking at is, you know, most of the EMM industry is addressing the idea that, you know, we want to separate our corporate files and applications from our personal applications, and so to do that, most of the EMM industry is taking this approach of creating an interconnected web of corporate applications that communicate with each other, but not with the personal applications that are living on the device. But of course, if you deploy an entire VM, then you can just let the applications interact with each other natively. You don't have to worry about modifying the applications. You can just throw everything in there and be assured that everything in the Android VM on the user's device is corporate approved. And, you know, and there are concerns about like mobile virtualization and what will the experience be like. But, you know, we have to remember that, you know, we're not trying to run a completely different platform on the mobile device. It's the same, you know, the same operating system making the same demands that the native would, and essentially no really increases in, you know, in overhead or the number of processes running, because overall, still no matter what, there's only one foreground of the process, one foreground activity running on the device at one time. So there's a lot that I really, really like about the idea of mobile virtualization. The problem is, because of all of these, to do this requires heavy modification of the operating system. So, of course, we need cooperation of the carrier and of the OEM, which, of course, takes time.
Yeah, I in talking to James earlier in the week, I referred to it as the least sexy menage a trois that there is. It's a three-way between us, the carrier, and the OEM. So, yeah, absolutely.
Does it ever get frustrating? Because I know you said when we chatted that your piece was done, a lot of the handset pieces were done, and for the Android, you were kind of waiting on the carriers.
I'll answer that. I mean, it's frustrating, but it's necessary. I mean, these partners have been fantastic, and they're dealing with different problems than we have to deal with. You know, we don't have to deal with things like, you know, the holiday retail rush and, you know, the different, you know, there's just demographics and all these different things that they have to deal with that we in the software industry just aren't, it's so foreign to us. So, you know, to us, it's like, hey, we're done, we ship it. And to them, it's like, great, we're glad you're done, but we have to do A, B, C, and D before we're ready to bring it to market. So that, you know, those those dynamics are frustrating to us in the software industry, but you know, that's the world in which we have to live.
So given those difficulties, we know that it'll be it takes time. And but see, what I'm glad to see is this native Horizon workspace app, of course, is released for Android as well as iOS.
Yep.
And so to me, I like that because that gives me a lot of functionality on my Android device to interface with the whole Horizon workspace and suite without having to wait around for the virtualization to come. Because
right. The thing is, like, mobile virtualization seemed like a really cool idea. I'm not saying it doesn't sound like a really cool idea now, but it seemed like a really useful idea, I guess is a better word. You know, back when VMware first started talking about it, which was 2008. But, you know, our understanding of organizations' needs around mobile management have changed a lot since then, when you talk about things like mobile application management and app stores and the like. So I guess the question is, why is VMware still even bothering with mobile virtualization when there are a lot of other ways to deal with these issues, and you know, VMware is coming out with some of these other ways?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, we were believers in that there's not a one size fits all answer. So we're trying to have a bunch of different answers to different problems, and you'll be able to mix and match them. But because of tight integration and consistent management on the back end, you can mix and match without a ton of overhead. So that's one reason why we're looking at these at several different technologies. To answer the mobile virtualization question directly, you know, we did a lot of research in terms of looking at Android. And if you look at Android right now, it's the number one smartphone operating system in the world. But when you look at penetration into the enterprise, it's fairly minimal. And so we went and talked to customers and said, okay, why are you not deploying Android in the enterprise? And we heard two things. We heard security and we heard fragmentation. Of course, they didn't call it fragmentation. They called it, I don't want to deploy 15 freaking copies of Android into my environment that I have to manage independently. And so we think that the mobile virtualization... go ahead.
It seems to me that in the last year, as the conversation has moved, you know, we've definitely seen an MDM conversation shifting more towards the mobile application management conversation.
Sure.
It seems like if we make work an app that we deploy to our users, it seems that like that being in control of the whole Android device is less of an issue for many users. And also that I definitely agree. Like there are some places where, you know, the Android virtualization is going to be really, really awesome and really cool. But I think as the whole enterprise mobility management conversation is progressing, it seems like there's more application centric solutions are coming forth. There's clearly a huge place for Android mobile application management.
So I agree with you in a lot of different ways. I mean, mobile application management is really attractive. It's obviously the approach that we're taking on iOS. We just think that Android, and like I said earlier, we're not religious about this. If we think the dynamics change once we get this product in the market, you know, we'll look at what our other options are. But right now, we think that for what customers really want, which, you know, we talk about separating of personal and corporate space, right? So that my data and my apps are independent of each other. When we talk about you talked about things like corporate app stores, you know, or corporate app catalogs, because you can't call it an app store, corporate app catalogs and things like that. We get all of that with the mobile virtualization platform, you know, with the virtual machine. And we get a really great experience for the end user. I mean, we make it very easy to move back and forth between the personal and the business space. The performance is exceptional. The battery life is exceptional. You know, everything you would want out of it. And so it makes it very easy for us to do it. And then the second thing we looked at was what does it take to securely wrap an app in Android, right? You know, unlike iOS, where there's really only one development kit and really only a small subset of well-documented interfaces you need to wrap. You know, in Android, you gotta wrap the ADK and the NDK and the JDK and all of their individual interfaces, and it's really hard to wrap it in a way which is truly secured, and which truly doesn't leak data. Not to say it's impossible, just to say it's hard. And so we think if you take those apps and you put them in a virtual machine in a way that you don't have to modify the apps, you don't have to do anything to them, you don't have to do any crazy gymnastics to make it work, and you give the user a great experience and it's highly manageable, we think that's a win all around. And so, really what it comes back to is, what would the objection be? Would the objection be that it's...
Well, so the objection is, like I said, I like that the workspace app, it gives us an answer for non-virtualized Android devices now. So the PIM client and the app wrapping for iOS is coming out later. So, give us the PIM client as well. And, then we're 80% of the way.
It's on Google Play now. The Horizon Mobile PIM client is on Google Play, so it can be downloaded into regular Android. I think you'll see the integration points in that in Horizon Workspace in forthcoming versions. And so really the only piece that's not there, to your point, is the app level wrapping and control. And like I said, our approach to that on Android today is that virtual machine. So and by the way, all the integration will be there, so that when you entitle a user to an app and the user is using, the virtual machine, it just shows up in their virtual machine. It also shows up in their workspace, so that it's a really, really good continuity in terms of experience for the end user.
Okay, so that the PIM client being there for Android, you said, that's really cool and that's exciting, and Is that branded as Zimbra or?
It was branded Zimbra in the past, mainly because that was our email brand, if you will.
Right.
But as the Horizon brand has grown to kind of encompass all things end user computing, it made sense for that to take on the Horizon brand now. The code was never based on Zimbra to start with; it was just a branding, decision.
So
a poor branding decision.
so then for right now then so for the, My only thing is that, of course, it's going to, even the most optimistic you could be about Android mobile virtualization, it's going to be, IT is going to have to deal with non-virtualized Android devices for probably a couple of years. It'd be nice to have more emphasis, like, yes, we do have the Zimbra client and the workspace app, these virtualization, it's going to take a while. It's not going to be all of the devices. Saying maybe this is going to be a specialty solution.
So we're working real so. There, it's not one answer, right? So all these things aren't mutually exclusive. So I think you're absolutely right. We need to be prepared for a world where in certain situations the mobile virtualization either is not feasible or not possible, whatever that may be.
I think for the future, for the time being, that's probably most situations.
Yes. That being said, we simultaneously work our ass off to make sure that our coverage in terms of platform and carrier and everything like that is as wide as possible. So, when you start seeing some announcements from the carriers, we expect that you'll be really impressed with, how pervasive the Horizon Mobile capability will be. And actually, even to correct the point you made earlier, you said that the integration onto the OEM it requires a lot of work. And actually, a cool thing, one of the reasons we've had really good buy-in from the OEMs is we built what we call our OEK, our OEM enablement kit, which basically allows them just to take their image and run it through our software and embed the components that are required pretty much automatically for them. So it's really low overhead for them.
Yeah.
And the other beauty of it is any of the components that we put into Android are basically latent until you enable it to use the mobile virtualization stuff. So the great thing about that is for an OEM, there's basically no downside, right? If you have an opportunity to add something into your phone that may make it more palatable to enterprises, which is a market you haven't done well in to date, and there's no overhead associated with it, why wouldn't you do it? And so as a result, we've seen really, really good uptake. Some announced, some we've done announcements, some are unannounced.
There's a comment in the chat room that kind of addresses this that I wanted to bring up. They appear to be an anonymous listener, said, talk about a divided, unfocused strategy. And I'm not sure I completely agree with that. I understand the need to address different needs of different customer bases. But at the same time, I feel like having all of these different approaches to the same challenges that IT is facing around mobility just kind of creates more and more confusion for potential customers, especially when you look at the entire VMware end user computing product line. You've had a Horizon App Manager out for a while, and now you have Workspace, which kind of subsumes a lot of that functionality and combines it with Horizon Data, which people had come to know as Project Octopus. You have two different Horizon Mobile technologies, one for iOS, one for Android, but they are completely different in terms of what they're designed to do. And even things like App Shift and App Blast, I still get those confused in terms of which one is which and what they're supposed to do, especially given general IT's slow entry into embracing mobility and doing anything more than basic MDM. Are you worried that the overall message could get lost in terms of what you're trying to do for customers?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you're always worried that your message could get lost. I think the important thing here, and I said it a couple of times, is it's really, and I don't think it's a disconnected or you know, strategy or whatever at all. I mean, what we've done is the base of this is to build a platform in the background that allows us to do all the management components, and then how we actually implement on individual devices only, you know, is really the last mile. It's actually probably the easiest part, right? It's really about, you know, how you manage it, how you're going to manage identity and policy and context across all these different diverse platforms is really hard. And so, you know, the approach that most people have taken was they come up with a different solution for every platform, right? And then maybe they do some cursory integration. I mean, what we've really done is build a singular platform which supports all these individual platforms. And then we look at the best, what we think is the best way to then approach that individual platform. So on Android, we thought the best approach was the virtualization. On iOS, virtualization isn't really an option. So we looked at, you know, secure containers / app wrapping. On, you know, Windows, we use a different approach. On Mac, we use a different approach. So we use the approach that we think is ideal to that platform and kind of the vagaries of the individual platform. So I think the hard work was building the back end, which is not done, but is mature now. Now we can work on, you know, how do we enable each individual action? And so that extends to things like how we deal with Android and how we deal with iOS. It also extends to how we bring in things like we announced Citrix Zen App, you know, how we bring that into the fray, how we bring in other app virtualization, okay, app distribution technologies, things like that. So we have
two questions. So I have a question, and Brian Madden 1 from the chat room has a question.
Is that actually Brian Madden or some guy just added 1 to the...
That's actually Brian. So Brian is asking, do the carriers have to pay for adding the Horizon mobile kernel kit to their image? And to follow up with that question, so how does this, you know, I'm looking at the Samsung approved for enterprise devices. And, you know, in fact, I saw billboards on 101 for Samsung approved for enterprise. So is this... is this going to be competing with Samsung or?
Well, so Samsung's one of our partners that's actually been announced. So they, you know, that's not news. I would say, you know, whenever you're both offering solutions in an enterprise, you're always competing in some way, shape, or form. The reality is, I don't think Samsung really cares as long as we help them sell devices, whether they use Safe to do it or whether they use Horizon Mobile to do it. If we help them sell more Galaxy devices into the enterprise, I don't think they could really care less.
And from my point of view, they're both from my point of view, whether it's virtualization or their custom APIs. At the end of the day, it's still a custom device, so it's going to be just a subset of your users.
Yeah, well, and the goal with Horizon Mobile is that it transcends that. So whether you're using, you know, the partners we've announced so far, I think are LG and Samsung, and I think those are the only ones that are. Oh, and Motorola is shipping phones in Asia already. So you know those vendors. The great thing about Horizon Mobile is you don't have to lock yourself into just Samsung like with Safe. That would be the obvious differentiator there. But, you know, that being said, like I said, I think Samsung's very happy with getting into the enterprise, which is, you know, something that Android has not been overly successful with to date. So I think that's where they see the opportunity. Regarding Brian's question, there's no way in God's green earth I could answer that, you know, publicly. So, but I appreciate him asking.
Another question, what percent of carrier phones will have the hypervisor?
I can't give a direct.
And you know, man, I just have to emphasize again, like, you know, I think this is a really cool solution, and, you know, and my only issue is that, you know, I want to, you know, make sure that the story for devices that don't support it, which will. For right now is all of them and will yes. likely be many of them for the future, that there's the solid support for those devices around that as well.
Yeah, so your concern is our concern, right? So if you look at, you know, a perfect example is if you look at what we did with Mirage on the virtual desktop side, you know, VDI, you know, only addressed 15-20% of the market, analysts said. So we went and added Mirage to go after the other 80%. You know, the same thing, you know, we'll do the same thing over time. We have to see what the uptake is to our mobile virtualization platform before we look at how we fill the gaps. You know, that being said, you know, we're doing Workspace, we're doing, you know, that gives you a secure data component, on every device. You know, we're doing the PIM, which will give you a secure PIM client on the device. And we'll look in to fill the gaps for devices which aren't supported. I can't give an exact percentage in terms of what percentage of devices we expect to support the virtualization platform. I can just say that with, you know, our carrier partners and talking to them and what they expect to support, we're very pleased, and we think it'll be a really good subset of the market. So we think it'll be very good.
Yeah. Speaking of which, what the PIM client that you said is out right now is. What's that called in the App Store? So I can go search.
Yes, it's called VMware Horizon Mail.
Oh, and cool! That's
easy enough.
Yeah, and it has a cost associated with it. Majority of the cost is really for us to pay the ActiveSync license.
Right. Is there any way for that client to be plugged into Horizon Suite as it is now, or is it just whatever IT wants to do through ActiveSync?
So it's not integrated into Horizon Suite today. It will be, you know, shortly in an upcoming release.
Yeah.
Ben, there's been a lot of talk about upcoming releases, not just with the products we're talking about, but with some of the other Vue and Mirage related products around App Blast and the like.
Yeah.
Or AppShift and the like. Are we, just because this is really a way of addressing consumer technology in the enterprise, and consumer technology evolves a lot quicker and has much more rapid updates, can we expect any sort of shift in the traditional enterprise, you know, wait 6 months to a year release cycle?
Yeah, you can. So I can't give you specifics on it yet. We'll probably, when you see the speed at which we release our next release, that'll give you kind of an indication of what we're looking to do here. You know, I've talked about the platform a couple of times, and this is actually was a huge point of emphasis. So one of the reasons we built this new platform, which is all virtual appliance based, which all the virtual appliances talk to each other over standard interfaces, and then there's a basically a command and control appliance that controls all the subcomponents. So it's a really, really elegant architecture. And the real one of the main reasons for this design was to enable exactly what you're talking about, which is how do we roll out application features on a more steady basis in a way which is non-disruptive to the enterprise. And so this whole, you know, wait 18 months for a hugely disruptive, massive update to the product that then takes you, you know, 12 months to implement. So you get 6 months of quiet before you then have to go start implementing the next version. Is not, we don't think that's the model anymore. Because to your point, everything else is revving so quickly that you just can't keep up. And what you also end up with an issue is, you know, one of the reasons that software companies tend to slip dates so much is because when you're waiting 18 months and you're trying to hit a release 18 months out, and all of a sudden you have one really important feature that starts to slip. Well, if it slips out of your, you know, if it slips out of your once every 18 month release, what do? You end up pushing the release back. And so we think that if you have a more frequent release cadence, then if a feature ships, it just drops into the next release, which isn't that far off. So I'm not announcing anything here right now.
So,
in terms of what our release cadence is going to be, but what I can say is we've built an architecture and we're making organizational changes which allow us to support potentially a more frequent release cadence.
So I'm going to read into this. Hopefully we'll be hearing something before VMworld.
I, like I said, I'm not announcing anything.
right. So this is cool. I'm going to choose to read into that, hopefully something before VMworld.
Yeah, so I think, like I said, we have this architecture which we think enables more frequent releases, and I think our customers are going to like that. Now, that being said, you know, there's a ton of dynamics here, right? I mean, we have to, when you market things and you only release a new release every 18 months, you only have to gear up your marketing engine for once every 18 months. When you train people, when you do support, when you do all these things, you know, most of the enterprise software industry is optimized for these, you know, 18-month release cycles. So, there's a lot of work and everything that needs to be done in order to potentially support a more frequent release cadence. So that's why I'm not announcing something today.
Telling
you what we're looking to potentially build and support going forward. Potentially.
Hey, Ben, in terms of VMware end user software, I mean, obviously you guys just sold off SlideRocket. And I'm kind of curious if you can kind of touch upon the sort of types of enterprise software or applications that you guys view as important for your end user computing portfolio kind of going forward and what you may want to start to offer and maybe how that'll further plug into the new Horizon Suite platform.
Well, moving on into the second hour of Consumerization Nation.
Yeah, well, I mean, just quickly, I guess. I know, obviously, we spent all of our time on mobile virtualization and the ins and outs of that. But, I mean, this is kind of the other big piece of, you know, consumerization with SaaS apps and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, I think inherently, you know, it's called end-user computing because we focus on the end-user experience. And so that the end-user experience itself is evolving really quickly. So we have to evolve with it. So, you know, when the project was initially, you know, thought of, you know, we saw the proliferation of SaaS applications inside the enterprise, and we said, hey, that's a problem that we need to focus on. And so, you know, Horizon Application Manager was built to solve that. And then we saw, you know what, an independent management technology just for SaaS isn't realistic. So it needs to manage other application types. And so ThinApp came in and ZenApp will come in and some of these other things will come in and, you know, okay, data management makes sense in there. So that came in. And so, you know, it's a constantly expanding thing. And part of it, you know, when the project started, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, I don't think we necessarily envisioned that it would be what it is today.
It's a moving target. And like I think we mentioned before, 2008, the issues in enterprise mobility management that we're talking about now, like 2008, we didn't even know what we'd do with a virtualized device.
iPhone was a, the iPhone was a year old then. The App Store, you know, had just been announced in 2008. So, you know, we're talking about, I mean, people don't realize how quickly we've been revving here. I mean, 2008, I mean, BlackBerry was still BlackBerry.
Five years.
Yeah. I mean,
BlackBerry was still RIM, right?
Yeah, exactly. Great point.
That was true a month ago, too.
That's true.
But they were dominant. And so, you know, I think this is why, like I said, I keep harping on the platform, was that we know that there's something else coming out, whether it's Google Glass or it's implantable, whatever, or, you know, there's a next thing beyond the iPhone, right? And so, and beyond Android. So we tried to build this platform that would allow us to address all those things going forward. And so, like I said, it's not sexy and it's not even above the covers in a lot of cases. But building that is what we think will enable us to build all this stuff in the future. So, you know, building this platform forced us to ignore a whole lot of marshmallows. And we're hoping that the payoff is big in the future. As, you know, the next thing comes out, we can adapt faster. And for a big company like VMware, the ability to adapt fast would be a differentiator.
And when can we expect Google Glass virtualization?
Yes, we're not announcing anything today.
So we're coming up on the end of the hour here. I know Colin has a few other things to mention, but first and foremost, Ben, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show and talking today. It was an absolute pleasure.
No problem. I'm taking down my picture of you with the darts in it right now.
Oh, fabulous! I appreciate that. And let's see. So, Colin, you were going to plug the new Search Consumerization Twitter account and
yes,
an event.
We have a new searchconsumerization.com has never had a Twitter account before. It's pretty much just been run through my personal account at Colin Steele, by the way. And but now we do have a official Twitter account, and it's at SearchCoIT. So check it out if you want to have some good discussions about consumerization, get all the articles that we post and all that good stuff.
Yeah, here, I'll plug it. I at Ben on Tech, follow at Search COIT. So you should too.
I'll also mention that tomorrow is the last day to get your sessions in for Briform if you want to speak. You know, notice that we've been talking about enterprise mobility management more and more at brianmadden.com. So Briform in London in May and Chicago in the end of July, expect to be talking a lot more about enterprise mobility management.
And next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, one of our sister sites, searchcio.com, is holding a tweet chat on enterprise mobility and BYOD. So if you follow us on Twitter, we'll be promoting that throughout the week. So they had a really good chat a couple weeks ago on some data center technologies, and I think this one will be just as well.
All right. Well, again, thanks, Ben. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on the MVP stuff when it comes out, and seeing all the rest of that when that happens. Thank you, Jim, for joining us. Colin.
Yeah, and by the way, Jack, we can see if we can get your hands on something before that. So reach out to me on the side and I'll see what I can do.
Sure. I'd be happy to. Jim, thanks. And Colin, as always, very much a pleasure co-hosting the show with you.
Thank you, Jack. Same here. And thanks to Ben for joining us. And thanks to everybody for listening and participating in the chat room.
And yes, thank you, users.